those, what them things called? Just ibuprofen or something. I said, pass me a cup. She said, why you need that? I said, just for my knees. Come on, somebody. She was like, she looked at me like, what about Jesus? Amen. But listen, I know we're here, and for some of you, it may be more than just a little challenge in the knees. For some of you, it might be big stuff. Amen. Some of you might have received a report. Some, it might be your feet, Brother Robinson. How are those feet doing? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For some of you, it might be something else. But I want to tell you this morning, there's healing in the room today. Come on. There's healing in the room. Pastor, do you really believe that? I really do. I really believe there's healing in the room today. Listen, I don't need church. I really don't. I don't need a religious experience. I really don't. That's what we're going to talk about today. You know what I need? I need the presence of God to come down on my situation. That's what I need. I need God to be God. I need God to be God. I need God to show himself mighty and strong in my behalf and in the behalf of his people, in the behalf of those who are watching by way of television or online. I need God to show himself mighty and strong today, to heal my wounded spirit, to encourage my depressed mind, to reach down and touch me right where I am. That's what I need. Father, do your work today. If you have a part of your body that is in chaos or in confusion right now, lay your hand on your heart, your stomach, your back, your legs, your knees, whatever it is. Touch your head. Joy, she's had some congestion this morning. Lay your hand on wherever it is you're hurting right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I said in the mighty name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, Lord, we touch and agree this morning. We decree and declare healing for your people today. Healing for your people today. Because you are great. You do miracles so great. And there is no one else like you, Lord. We declare the blood of Jesus is strong enough for any sickness. We declare the blood of Jesus is powerful enough for any infirmity. And we believe it and declare it today that your people are made whole. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, somebody just begin to worship him. Say, thank you for my healing, Lord. Thank you for my healing, Lord. Hallelujah. You're great, Lord. You're a miracle so great. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for healing. Hallelujah. You are great. You do miracles so great. There's no compares to you, Lord. No one else like you. Oh, give him praise today. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you guys for leading us in the presence of the Lord. You can be seated. Praise God. Well, I appreciate so much the participation. Those, we extended an invitation to several of our people just to go and to enjoy some refreshing and retreating and training yesterday. If you were a part of that group yesterday that Ivan mentioned and you went to the church training yesterday, would you please stand up and just acknowledge yourself? If you were a part of the training yesterday, please stand up. Praise God. Look around there. Thank you guys for participating in that. Praise the Lord. Give them a hand, y'all. Well, praise God. I appreciate that so very much. And listen, don't forget two real important items. One is next Sunday is Easter. There'll be more people that will get up next Sunday morning and go to church than any other Sunday in the year. There'll be people that'll go out. Listen, this is what I love. People will go out and buy all kinds of brand new clothes. Some people will buy suits and ties, and then they'll come into the church and they'll look at the pastor. He's got a pair of jeans and a casual shirt on. I just laugh. I say, they're so out of touch with what's going on. They don't really know. Bless their stinking hearts. Amen. They spent all that money trying to impress somebody. You know, listen, I think it's wonderful to have on something new. I'm going to look for me a pretty shirt. Y'all watch for my shirt next week, okay? I'm not going to be looking like Johnny Cash in the pulpit next week. I'm going to have a bright shirt on, all right? But there'll be so many people because they're so out of connection with what's going on in the church today. They'll go to all kinds of trouble and frustrations to make sure they get the right clothes to come into the church on the only Sunday that they'll come to church. What a sad thing. I'm serious about what I said a moment ago. I need this place. I really do. I need this. I need to be with you. Amen? I need to be with you. I need to be with you. And guess what? Whether you like it or not, you need to hang out with me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Pastor Joy and I love you. We appreciate you. We thank God that you're part of this church, and we appreciate all that God is doing in and through us and through Carpenter Shop. Also, next Sunday morning, early, somebody say early.
Early.
We're talking 6:30. There'll be a sunrise service at Beechwood Country Club, and you're all invited. And if you would desire, after the little services over there, we're going to have a short sunrise service. It's not going to be long because we'll be standing. We're going to have a breakfast, a wonderful breakfast there at the Beechwood Country Club. And if you'd like a ticket to that, they're available in the foyer today. Just see Lynn after the service today. Lynn, raise up your hand there. She'll have tickets for you. Kids are a little lesser priced than adults, but it'll be a wonderful breakfast there and a great day to spend Easter. So tickets are available in the foyer after the service. Must get them today because we've got to have a count for how many is going to be there. Sunday morning, 6:30, sunrise service. Beechwood Country Club. And if you want to stay afterwards and play golf, that's not possible. Okay? That's not possible. Well, you might could play a little bit because we got service at 10 o'clock here. Come on, somebody. How would you like to say, would you come to church, the place is full, and somebody say, where's the pastor? He's playing golf. Come on. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And also, tonight, last service of the March Winds Revival, Buck Leary. I bet you Ellen Ross will be sitting right on the front row tonight. Amen? Amen. Nothing like hearing your son preach the gospel. Amen? So listen, she's going to be excited tonight because he's going to be here. But guess what? Not the only one. I'm going to be excited. I love this man. And he's a tremendous preacher of the gospel and very sensitive to the things of the Spirit. So join us tonight for March Winds Revival, 6 o'clock, right here in the main sanctuary. Pastor Buck Leary will be with us. Praise God. Amen. Don't forget, if you're a man... How many men we got in the house today? Join Michael Wilson and the men's ministry tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here at the church. 7 o'clock tomorrow night if you're a man. Well, I get off work at 6. Well, the meeting's not till 7, okay? Grab a Happy Meal at McDonald's and put the toy on the dashboard and come on to church, okay? Well, breaking the chains that bind. Today we're going to tag team preach, amen? Pastor Anoli's going to take it from me in just a little bit. So we're going to have a good time today. Amen. Somebody say tag team.
Tag.
Amen. So I'm going to set him up real good, and he's going to take it all the way to the finish line, all right? And we're going to believe God for anointing of the Holy Spirit upon that, and that he would meet us here in the altar at the close of the service. Breaking the chains that bind. I've enjoyed the series in the month of March. The March series is coming to a close today. And in the month of March, we have talked to you about several spirits that I feel, somebody say pastor feels, that I feel are dominant spirits. Somebody say dominant.
Dominant.
What do you mean by that? I mean that they're very strong spirits that exist over this region. Now, y'all let that process for just a second. Very strong spirits that exist over this region. And guess who they flow through? People. They flow through people. Because guess what? Unless you need to be reminded, we are what kind of beings? Spiritual beings. We have a soul, we have a mind, we have will and emotions, but we also have a spirit. Amen? And we have a body. Amen? We have all different kinds of bodies. Amen? And we have all different kinds of spirits. How many times have you said to someone, hey, maybe you talk to your spouse like Pastor Joy and I do. I say, did you see so-and-so today at church? She said, yeah, she's got a beautiful spirit. How many times have you said that? Come on. How many times have you said, you know what? I like that guy, man. He's just got a gentle, what? Spirit about him. All of us carry spirit. Amen? And if you want to see the spirit that some of us carry sometime, you'd have to go like Charlie Rich and say, nobody really knows what goes on behind what? Closed doors. I'm dating myself here. You would see the true spirit of a person come out where? At home. at home. I've walked up on people sometime when they were manifesting bad spirits. Amen. I've seen mamas in Walmart bless their kids out when they see the pastor go, "Hey, pastor, how are you doing?" Woo, glory. No. I saw that spirit. You know what I'm talking about? I walked up on somebody this past week that was manifesting a bad spirit, and I'm not going to tell you what it was because the person might be sitting here in the room. But I saw a bad spirit. He said, it doesn't mean they're not a Christian, but I saw a bad spirit manifested in their life. Disappointed me, but guess what? The same could be true of me. You could walk up on me when I was having not a good moment. Amen? And you say, man, I can't believe Pastor. I saw Pastor the other day. Man, he lost his cool. Come on. Why? Because we are human spiritual beings. We're human. We're body. We're flesh. Yes, we have mind, will, and emotions, but we also have a spirit. And we are capable, here you go now, join us on Wednesday night, last session of talking about spirits. Join us Wednesday night. We are capable of being influenced, controlled by spirits. Join Pastor Randy Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We're capable of manifesting spirits in our lives. So we talked about three spirits that are dominant in northeastern North Carolina. And number one was the spirit of isolation. I've never seen so many people with poor, poor, poor self-esteem. So poor that they get to church late and they leave the service early. Come on. Listen, I'm going to throw it out there and be real. If you don't like it, hey, bless your heart. People get to church late sometimes, leave early sometimes because they just, you know, have you ever heard somebody say this? I just really don't like crowds. I love crowds. Amen. I love crowds. Give me more. You say, Pastor, do you really like crowds? I love crowds. The more crowds, the better preaching. Amen? I love people. I love to be around people. I love to engage people in conversation. I love to be around people. I don't want to be alone. The Bible says it's not good that we should be alone. In fact, God created Adam, and Adam had the privilege of naming animals. He's the one to come up with stuff like hippopotamus. Blame him. You can't spell it. It ain't my fault. It's Adam's fault. Okay? Isolation will hurt you because you really should not be alone. Because when you're alone, the enemy can work on your mind and no one is there to help you work through that. Amen? Then we talk about, and there's a lot of people in northeastern North Carolina that have poor, poor self-image. And they struggle, and they better just, you know, I know a whole list of them, I could name them right now, of people that don't get out and go anywhere, people that stay home, isolated, separated from everything. And so we struggle when that happens. And I've heard people say, well, you know what, I just don't talk a lot. I just kind of like to be by myself. No, you don't. You're crying out. You really want to be with somebody else, but you don't know how to make that happen. Amen? Amen? Spirit of isolation is prevalent in northeastern North Carolina. Secondly, the spirit of jealousy. That's when you go to comparing yourself to someone else. You can do it right here in the church parking lot. You come up in and park your car, and you say, wonder who's driving that? Wonder who's driving that? And you start to compare. Well, your spouse or somebody in the car says, no wonder. What? What do you mean, no wonder? Well, you know how she got it all. Y'all follow what I'm talking about? Because the spirit of jealousy falls down upon you, and rather than dealing with that, you feed into it. Next thing you know, y'all in the parking lot having a conversation that had nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with Jesus. And you're talking about other people's stuff. And so then you create an atmosphere among you and your spouse or whoever's doing the talking where they'd say, well, you know what? They do have a lot. And then you start thinking, I don't have as much as them. And you feel slighted. And so then you become a victim of the spirit of jealousy. We talked about two individuals. One's name was Cain and the other one's Abel. Man, his comparison led him to do what? Raise up a fist and kill his brother. Jealousy will eat you up. I see a lot of jealous people in northeastern North Carolina. A lot of jealous folk. Then the spirit of poverty. We talked about that last week. The spirit of poverty. Well, you know how husky is. Come on. Well, you know how it is here. We ain't got nothing. And I guess that's the way it's going to be. We're never going to have nothing. Go, that's right. You just prophesied your destiny right there. You never will have anything because you prophesied over your own life. No, listen. I could be a lot of different places rather than be here, but you know why I'd rather be here? Because God divinely put me here, and I'm going to stay here until he divinely releases me. I'm going to speak to this region. I'm going to speak to this church. I'm going to speak to you and speak to whoever listens. There's a better way in northeastern North Carolina. If you knew how many preachers and churches were praying for the Spirit of God to pour out himself upon northeastern North Carolina, it would shock you. People are praying for that all over this place. And guess what? He's doing it. He's doing it. The spirit of poverty. And then we feed into it by our behaviors. And we settle for nothing less, and nothing more than just dependence on a system. Dependence on a system. We get locked into a system. And we feel like, you know, without this system, I can't make it without social services. Can I just tell you something? If Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew what social services had become, the man would roll over in his grave. Because it was never created to be the chaotic, confused system that it has become to be a crutch for people to lean on. It never was created for that. Social services should be in the hands of who? The church. The church. It's the church. If you read the book of Acts and you look at what happened in the early church, the church was the agency that helped people when they were down on their way. But we've become in such a bad situation now in our society, the church can hardly help. You can't. I've had people call me, Pastor, is there any way the church could help me with my light bill? Well, how much is your light bill? Well, $2,357. You ain't paid it in a long time, okay? And then the system will set you up for this. You can't pay it in the winter, so they'll cut you a little slack and reduce it and give you time to make it up. But by the time the winter's over, guess what's happening? Summer's coming. It's cold. It's hot, and you need some cold air. And so the bill keeps on flying higher and higher, and you're not getting anywhere. Because the spirit of poverty has you locked into a system. You just got a minimum wage job, and you don't believe you can have anything else but a minimum wage job. And guess what? If that's the way you believe, you're gonna reach retirement, and you're gonna enjoy your minimum wage benefits. There is a better way. And the better way is found through understanding who I am in Christ Jesus and what God has enabled me to do by the power of his spirit to understand who I am. And understand what my destiny involves in. It involves the blessing of God upon my life. The favor of God upon my life. The Bible says favor surrounds me like a shield. Well, that's easy for you to say. You're the pastor. You're the one God's given this and that and the other thing to. He can do the very same thing for you because the Bible says what? He is not a respecter of persons. So this spirit of poverty. Listen, if you believe that lie, you will spend your life not going anywhere, but being impoverished and broke and poor, and a spirit of lack will latch onto you and you will never have anything. But guess what? It's up to you to break that spirit. Amen? To break it and say, you know what? There's a better way. I'm going to do this. Now, it might mean you roll up your sleeves and work two jobs for a while. But if you're determined, you can get out of this thing and you can do better. Amen? Today, the spirit of religion. Somebody say, oh me. The spirit of religion. The spirit of religion. I was holding a conversation by my own initiative on Facebook Messenger just a few weeks ago. I had reached out to a young man on social media and I reached out to him because I knew that he had a specific skill that I was inquiring about. And I just sent him a private message, struck up a conversation. I know the young man fairly well. I married he and his first wife many, many years ago when I came to this city. The conversation went well, and I was able to share the joy of what was taking place. And, you know, we got through the shop talk, the surface stuff, before I just threw the real reason why I contacted him out there. So as we were interchanging our finger messages, you know, just texting, typing away, he said, "How are you doing, Pastor Wallace?" I said, "I'm doing well." I said, "I'm enjoying life, man. I'm enjoying what God is doing in me and what God is doing through me as a believer and more specifically as a Christian leader." And he said something that's quite normal for someone who really don't get the real picture of the Jesus thing. He said, and this is, I quote him, he said, "If I was going to go to church, it would be yours because you're my favorite religious person." I smiled inside. Well, he couldn't see me anyway. But I smiled inside and I thought, well, here we go. I thought I was going to talk to him about one thing, but I'm going to talk to him about something else. So how many of you know you just got to go through that door when the Lord opens? So I thought, okay, I can walk through this open door. I got time. So you see, this young man, like many, is in touch with the idea of religion, a set of beliefs. But is probably clueless when it comes to the idea, I said clueless, when it comes to the idea of personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, the songwriter was really serious when he said, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share." That's an old song. It's in the hymn book. "I come to the garden alone." But the songwriter talks about how he has such a personal relationship that God walks with him, talks with him, tells me I'm his. See? "And the joy we share as we tarry there." He says, "Man, nobody ever knows what this is like. Because I have a what? Personal relationship with God through his son Christ." Amen? So this guy really doesn't, he really doesn't get this. He understands religion. He said, "You're my favorite religious person in this area." And I kindly corrected him. I said, "Man, I got you fooled. I'm not religious. I'm not. I don't follow religion." Okay? What is religion? Well, the popular definition tells us that it is the belief in and the worship of a superhuman controlling power. Notice it said a superhuman controlling power. And then semicolon, especially a personal God, or a pursuit or interest. Notice this now. It takes away from person and it's backing up. This is modern definition. Religion is the pursuit or the interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. In other words, Richard, it doesn't have to be a person. It doesn't have to be Jesus. You can prescribe supreme importance to your club. Amen? Well, I've always been a... You tell them what you've been a part of. And you throw it in the category of religion. And it is religion. But religion don't cut it, beloved. Jesus is the only way for you to get to the Father. In case you didn't know it, the Bible says... Somebody say, "The Bible says." The Bible, says there is no other name under the heavens. That's a pretty big canopy, isn't it? There's not another name under the heavens whereby we must be saved. Not another one. Listen, I don't care what it is you ascribe to. I don't care what organization you're a part of, what club you hang with, or what you see as important in your life. We meet the first and the third. I don't care what it is you're a part of. If Jesus is not the center, you're wasting your time. You are. You're wasting your time. I appreciate that double hand clap. I got one over here and one over there. You're wasting your time. Because listen, there is all of this effort that you put into this, everything that you do to make sure that this is supreme in your life. If Jesus is not at the core of it, the very center of it, the foundation of it, you are wasting your time. It says the pursuit or the interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. I can't miss that meeting. Oh, really? How come you miss church? I can't miss that. I've been a part of it for 15 years. How come you don't go to church? How come you're not engaged in the worship experience? How come you're not a part of the living, breathing organism we call the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Those who are called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. Amen. You know, this. Listen, it's bigger. Listen, beloved, it's big. We've messed the church up. Amen. We've got Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal. We got thousands and thousands of denominational preferences that are all made by man. What, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Baptist. Well, bless your heart. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I've been in the Assemblies of God for 40 years. Well, bless your heart. How about I am a Christ follower? How about I'm a blood-bought son of child of the living God? How about I'm a Christian? I'm a Christian. Believers were first called Christians where? Antioch. It's in the Bible. They were called Christians. They were Christ followers. Man, we got all in it and messed it all up, and we've created, as our pastor said yesterday, we've created a social club, and we're the only difference in us is we got a sign on a cross on the top of our building. Because to some of us, it is just a ritual for us to get up and make sure we go to church. Go to church, go to church, go to church, go to church. How about go to Jesus? How about go to Jesus? Listen, Pastor, I can't believe you'd say that. I thought you were all for the church. I am, but I'm really frustrated with how messed up the church has become all these years. We have split this thing down the middle, and all you got to do is get a group of folks who get their drawers in a knot and get upset, and they'll go down the road and start another one and call it New Hope. We got a New Hope. And I don't care what you think, every split that has ever happened has not been God's will. Well, we just feel like God has blessed us now. God, oh, God is doing so much. God didn't do that. You did it. You did it. Because never in the Bible did I ever see where the church was supposed to divide. She's supposed to multiply. You're supposed to plant churches other places, like we did here in 2012. We planted 10 families, left here one Sunday morning to an altar response, and went down to Gates County with $57,000 in their hands and started another church called Upper Room Assembly. We've been in existence for 12 years. Praise the Lord. You did that. By multiplication, not by division. Church split and split and split. I know one church that's split and split and split again. I counted them one day. 5 times that organism has split right wide open. If I call the name of it, you'd know it. But I'm not here to bash an organization by name, or I'm just, the principle is what I'm talking about. Friends, it ain't God's will for the church to split. Amen. Never. But you just don't know the circumstance. Never! It is never God's will for the church to split and one group go another direction. Never. In the church, we don't know how to confront problems and deal with them. That's the problem. We've got leaders that are leaders because, in many cases, in many churches, they're leaders not because of they've got the authority and the ability and the gifting to be a leader. They got there because of their position, their money, or their popularity in the church. And then we got churches still having contests on you vote for the person you want to be in the position. That's not God's will either. That whole system is no good. That whole system is no good. It's not biblical. Well, we have deacons and we rotate every 3 or 4 years and this. That's not God's will. It never was God's will. He said, choose you this day your leadership. Acts chapter, he said, you choose them. Who chooses them? The man in charge. The Moses of the house chooses them. Amen? I don't know if I believe that or not. I don't care if you believe it. Read it. Read the Bible. When did we ever come up with all these church doctrines that we have to start with? Who came up with this stuff? In case you're wondering, I'm talking about the spirit of what?
Religion.
Well, I think we ought to vote. You can vote the first Tuesday in November. Praise the Lord. You can get to vote then. Hey, we ought to vote. Why? So the church can get into confusion and split? You trust me as your leader. Well, how long are you in for?
Forever.
Okay? Forever. I'm not here on a term, okay? I'm going to be the pastor here until something happens to me. And listen, we have provision. If you want to get rid of me, you can, okay? It takes 2/3 of you to say, I don't like him no more. And if you want to get rid of me, you help yourself. You can get rid of me. You just better make sure you have 2/3 of the congregation with you, or you're just going to be embarrassed. Amen? You can't get rid of me anyway. You didn't put me here, okay? Well, I never heard anybody say stuff like that about the church. Maybe you've never been to Carpenter Shop International Church. Okay? We're talking about the spirit of religion. I knew a man once that played an organ for years in a local church not too many miles from here. And someone got in a conversation with him one day about Jesus, and he said, oh, I really don't believe in Jesus. And the guy said to him, it was a pastor friend of mine, he called his name. He said, wait a minute, I thought you played the organ every Sunday for such and such a church. He said, I do, but I don't believe in Jesus. He said, I just know how to play the organ. And he said, well, that must be miserable for you to play the organ all these years at that church and yet tell me today that you don't even believe in Jesus, much less have a relationship with him. He said, it don't bother me. I just play the organ. Man, please, please, what have we done in the church? The spirit of religion. Religion, it is the pursuit or the interest to which someone describes supreme importance. You can take anyone or anything and make it a religion in your life. Have you ever heard anybody use this very casually in our southern vernacular? Well, I tell you one thing for sure, man. They're going to be there because they do that religiously. We understand what it means. They do that religiously. But we're talking about relationship with Jesus here. I mean, come on, popular belief is, you know, there's really no real moral absolutes, no real rights, no real wrongs, but everything is relative. So if I want to make it something supreme in my life, I have the full right to do so. Some people, if you knew how much time you spent on the internet and on Facebook, and then compare that amount of time that you spent to talking to Jesus, it'll be very embarrassing for you. Amen. 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 The only good thing I can say about you, say, well, you're on Facebook a lot. I am, because there's a tremendous audience out there. And I love when I get up in the morning. And you know what? We don't take the News and Observer. It weighs 15 pounds, and it costs you $75 a month to get it thrown into your driveway. So why would I do it? Pick up the phone and read the news on your phone. And then you pick up the phone in the morning, and somebody who beat you up, who got up at 5:30 and put the first five on the page. And I say, hey, Joy's in there. She's brushing her teeth. She said, did you see what Ellen put on this morning? I'm in the kitchen getting the coffee. Yeah, I saw it. That's cool, ain't it? Yeah, I shared that. That's so good. See, good news. Good news. Good stuff. Good devotional thoughts. Good leadership things. Good things to share. Share, 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 share. Because every time you share, you're taking the good news that you thought was good to you and you're sharing it with somebody else. See? So I love social media. I use Facebook every day of my life, and I promote the kingdom of God with it. It really doesn't matter to me what you had for lunch. Okay? You know? Or what restaurant you ate at. That really doesn't really tickle my fancy, but I sure would like to hear what God's doing in your life. Amen? We're all guilty of that. I've took a picture of my plate before and say, these chitlins are good. Amen. A few weeks ago, I put on Facebook, I thank God for Duck Through. I can go in there and walk in there any time of the day and get me a $4.95 styrofoam cup of chitlins, and they're good. Man, people started hitting me up, are you crazy? I said, no, I'm country. And they're good. I like chitlins. I can't get beyond the smell. I don't worry about the smell. I open up that pie hole and whoop, they're gone. Amen. I like chitlins. They're tasty. Praise the Lord. So I love the fact that we can promote the kingdom of God. We can promote relationship with Christ, because that's not a religion as we understand it. It's about relationship. Religion, there are an estimated 10,000 of them in the world. 10,000 religions, yes. The top five represent 85% of all religious thought. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism. They're the top five religious core of beliefs in this thing we know as the world. All this is hashed out in these thousands of years of human history as we know it. Before Christ, B.C., I still say before Christ, they say today, before the Common Era. They want to throw Christ out of the whole thing. Before Christ, and we had the record of humanity starting with God himself creating Adam and Eve, the very first human beings, and placing them in the garden. And their assignment was really quite simple. Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter number 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. King James says what? Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea. The bass, the catfish, the herons, all that stuff. And the birds of the sky. And over every living creature that moves on the ground. The assignment was not that tough. God created Adam and Eve, put them in the Garden of Eden. And he said, listen, enjoy this, nurture it, take care of it. Be fruitful. Enjoy each other. Love each other. Give me some babies, the Lord said. Let me have some children. And so Adam and Eve had a pretty simple assignment. It was Jesse Duplantis who said, man, they had it made. They really had it made. Adam and Eve, naked in the garden and no lawnmower. They just had it made. Naked in the Garden of Eden and don't even have to use a lawnmower. And they blew it. God didn't have a lot of rules or prohibitions, only one, really. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. This was actually before Eve came into the picture. I've heard people say all along, well, Eve's the one that did it. Adam was responsible. Why? Because before God ever gave Adam Eve, he gave them this command. Beforehand. And they were placed in the garden, and Adam already knew the standards. And then came the serpent, the devil, and he lured them to the place of temptation, and he lured them to the place of their ultimate failure. And that failure was really a test, catch this, it was really a test of perspectives. In other words, is he God or is he not God? Does he really mean I can't eat of this fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden? Or is it okay for me just to go ahead and have a bite? In other words, Adam was making the decision, is he God or not? The devil comes to them and says, God don't really, man, he's throwing you a line. Okay? God didn't really say, he didn't really mean what he says. He knows that if you do, then you'll be what? Like him. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. That's why he don't want you to partake of it. Man, take a bite. So what the serpent's goal was, don't miss this, beloved. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. What the serpent's goal was is to bring Adam up to the God level. Okay? To bring Adam up to where it wasn't God who set the standard. It was Adam who set his own standard. Did y'all catch that? In other words, that's exactly what happened. Adam, when he partook of that fruit, when Eve partook of that fruit, they really showed God, listen, we want to be God of our own lives. And that's the real problem with humanity today. Everybody wants to run their own life. I can't run my life. I tried it several times before, and I usually got in trouble. I invited things into my life that really were bad for me, not good for me. When I was Lord of my life, I was miserable. When I was Lord of my life, I didn't have peace. When I was Lord of my life, I didn't have anything in my heart that caused me to be able to feel at peace with myself, because I was Lord. And he posed a question. Let's note this here. It posed a question when Adam and Eve were in the garden. It posed a question: who is really going to be God? God himself, the creator, or Adam, the creation? Who's going to be God? The fact that God is God, always, he's always been God, and he always expects to be God and will be God, is pretty plainly spelled out even as you move on progressively through the Bible in what we call the Ten Commandments. I was at the turkey banquet the other night, and man, it just blessed my heart. Everybody in the world thought I was going to bid on the Ten Commandments. Well, the preacher's here, he's going to buy that. I don't need another Ten Commandments. They're written on my heart. I got all kinds of religious stuff. People for birthdays and Christmas, they give me more praying hands. I could sell all the praying hands I had for $10 on eBay. Man, I could buy me something nice. Praying hands, crosses, Bibles, spiritual books. People give me that stuff all the time. I don't need any more stuff like that. But people give me stuff like that all the time because they think, he's so spiritual, he wants another cross. So everybody expected me to buy the Ten Commandments. I fooled them, didn't I, Johnny? I didn't even bid on it. But here's what I noticed about the turkey banquet. The place was jam-packed with people. Guess what the highest priced item was the whole night? The Ten Commandments. It brought more than anything else in the whole conference. It was sitting there, beautiful, made of reclaimed wood, handmade, Ten Commandments, beautiful on granite, carved 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It brought more than anything else in the house. And guess what else I noticed, Johnny? See, I was listening and watching, enjoying myself at the turkey banquet. I was enjoying myself. Guess what else I noticed? When the item sold, what happened, Johnny? That's what happened. People started clapping their hands when the Ten Commandments was sold. You know what that tells me about everybody in the room? There was respect for God's word. There was respect for God's standard. See? It was amazing. It blessed me so much. I thought, wow, God, this is amazing. The Ten Commandments brought more than anything else. And see, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 6, God spells out his law here, and the Bible says, and God spoke all these words. What did he say? I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And verse number 3 has the first commandment, and you shall have no other gods before me. Man, that's pretty strong. You can't have other gods before me. You can't put your family before me. You can't put your sports before me. You can't put your club before me. You can't put your organization before me. You can't. Because he said what? You shall have no other gods before me. That's pretty strong. And then he goes on. If you haven't noticed, when you look at the Ten Commandments, just back up and look at them from a distance. You'll notice that the first four commandments have everything to do with how you respond to God. And the rest of the commandments have everything to do with how you respond to his creation. You can't kill people. You can't steal from people. You can't covet your neighbor's four-wheel drive or what, you know, any of that stuff. You can't do that. It's how you treat other people. But the first four have everything to do with how you look at God. And he says, look, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse number 4, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You can't worship a fish. Amen. I've had people tell me, I said, man, you ought to come to church sometime. Well, I'll be honest with you, Pastor. When I'm out there, man, ain't nothing like feeling the peace of God when I'm out there on that water. That's just a lie to yourself, like it ain't peaceful any other time besides 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Come on. But people do that. Because they take their bass fishing habit and make a religion out of it. Didn't you read the definition a moment ago? Why? Because the spirit of religion rests upon people. And they will, here we go, they will justify their behaviors. They'll justify their behaviors and they'll make it so it's all right. I feel okay about this because I've justified. Well, you know, God, I invited a lady so many times over the years. I've invited this lady to church. And she said, well, you know, I ride horses. And let me tell you something. I know it may sound silly to you, but when I mount up on that horse and I'm just trotting through the woods, I feel God more than any time. Well, ride your horse right on into church. We'll let you park right outside. We'll tie your animal up there. You know, ride your animal right over to the church. In fact, wouldn't put it past me. If you need to bring your church in the building, we'll put them in down there beyond the nursery in the Family Life Center. Give them a bowl of corn so your horse will be all right. Just all right. People make all kinds of excuses. People make all kinds of things to come out of their mouth that really comes out of their heart, and they're trying to justify this spirit of religion. Sometimes people feel good because they support things financially. And they make a religion out of it. Well, I give. If some of y'all looked at your giving to the church and realized that how little it is, because 80% of the work is done by 20% of you guys. 80% of the giving that comes through, some hundreds of thousands of dollars through this church every year, is done by just a fraction of the crowd. 14, 15% give the majority of the money. Well, I know the Bible says tithe, but I'll tell you what, man, my taxes, don't talk to me like that. It is the Lord who gave you the ability to earn wealth to start with. Man, he can take it every bit from you and shoop in one swipe. If you don't believe that, talk to Job. He can tell you the real story. So you put God first in all these things out of relationship with him. He says you shouldn't make for yourself that kind of image, and you don't bow down. You don't worship them, for I, the Lord your God, I love this, am a jealous God. And listen, I'll punish the children for the sins of the parents. Oh, Lord. I'll punish the children for the sins of the parents to the third and the fourth generation. Man, I just wish my son wouldn't mess with that stuff. Why is he doing it? Maybe your third and fourth generations are getting visited by the stuff that you are not willing to turn loose of either. Now, don't y'all go getting quiet on me. Come on. Am I right, Pastor Randy? Because see, if you would be the man of God that he's called you to be, you see the struggle in your children, your grandchildren, and you recognize that you're the one that allowed this. You're the one that introduced this. Your behavior is what they saw. You modeled this in front of them. Why don't you draw a line in the sand and say, no more. I break the curse of narcotics on my family. I break the curse of alcohol on my family. I break this in Jesus' name. And call your family in and sit down with them and say to them, listen, I want to tell you something. I am deeply sorry. Say, well, Dad, what are you talking about? Well, Pastor talked about it Sunday. He said, the Bible says, this is not my words. He says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You see, he wants your heart. He don't want your religious thoughts. He wants your heart. He said, I'll punish the children for the sin of the parents all the way down to the third and the fourth generation of those who behaving like they hate me. Won't let me be Lord of their life. But he said also, see, flip the coin. Verse number 6. But I'll show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Amen. I love it because Pastor Joy and I ride down. Man, we're grandparents. we're grandparents. Four grandchildren. And we're already talking about their lives and when they grow up. And yesterday we talked about Caleb. There was a man who had a different spirit, the Bible says, and his name was Caleb. She punched me, I punched her. We got a Caleb. Yes, he's got a different spirit. God, use little Caleb in my. I'm already praying for Caleb. That God's blessings will rest upon Caleb and Levi and Lexi and Ava. That God's blessings will be manifested and that I won't do anything that will bring punishment to them, to their generation, because of my foolish behaviors. Somebody ought to be shouting me down. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. That the God that we serve would love to bless your generations to 1,000 deep of those who love me and do what? Keep my commandments. This text embodies the first two of the commandments in verses 3 and 4. It's the Old Testament law. Someone has said this. The Bible is really a record of how God created man and how man responded to the God who created him. That's powerful. The Bible, all the Bible is a record of how God created humankind and how humankind responded to the God who created him. So what is our perspective about God? What is our view of God? Is God that awesome creator who longs and desires to have fellowship, connection, communion with us, whom he created? Yes, you see him walking through the garden in the cool of the day when Adam and Eve had sinned and hid themselves in the bushes naked. Adam, where are you? God just wanted to have a talk with Adam. He just wanted to have fellowship with him, and he knew where he was. It wasn't about a GPS thing. Because he knows everything. He knew where he was. He wasn't saying, where are you? You're hiding in the bushes. He knew where he was. What he was asking him was, where are you in light of my policy? Where are you in light of that rule I gave you about the tree? And I would ask you this morning, where are you in light of Genesis to Revelation? Where are you in light of the principles of God's word? Where are you? Do you follow that? Do you follow relationship with Jesus? Or are you following some religious waste of your time? And I'm here to tell you today that God can set you free from your religion. Yeah, but the other guys won't understand. I don't give a... You're going to let the other guys push you into hell? You're going to let the other guys influence you that way? Why don't you get your life in order, make Jesus the Lord of your life, and why don't you lead them out of darkness into the light of the gospel? Why don't you take them and snatch them out of the pit of hell and bring them to eternity with God, with you? Spirit of religion. It teaches you that you can have any God you want, or better yet, anything you want to be your God. That's why this all-knowing God who created us says you shouldn't have any other gods before me and you shouldn't worship or bow down anything. It's the classic example of the tension that exists between religion and relationship. Today's Palm Sunday. That's what happened on Palm Sunday as well. Jesus is rolling up into Jerusalem and he's not riding in a car. He's on a donkey. He's on the poor man's animal. If you had any money, you'd have a camel. But he's riding a donkey. He's making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of our gospel writers record the story. And when he approaches the city, he does something that we see Jesus do only two times in the Bible. He cries. He weeps. The first time he cried at the grave of Lazarus because the Bible says he loved him like a brother. The second time he weeps, he's entering the city of Jerusalem. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 and 42. As he approached Jerusalem, Gary said it just a moment ago. He said, we're going through Palm Sunday here in just a matter of days here. We'll be talking about the death of Christ on the cross and the great resurrection from the grave. But he's going into Jerusalem, and the Bible says, and he saw the city, and I've underscored it for you. And what does he do? He weeps over Jerusalem. And he said, If you, even you, had only known on this day, what would bring you peace? He says, but now, you're blinded. talking about the chains that bind. Now you're bind and you're binded and you're bound and you're blinded. You're bound. You can't see it. It's hidden from you. That's the way the people were in that day. And when they have Jesus coming into the city, then what are they doing? They're grabbing their palm branches because the palm branch is a national symbol for Israel. The date palms, this is a land of promise, the land of milk and honey. The palm tree is like the American flag, and they're stripping off the branches, and they're waving them, and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know what Hosanna means? Save us. What did they want to be saved from? They wanted to be saved from Roman domination. The Romans were so cruel. Man, they crucified Jesus on a cross, naked on the main highway, Interstate 95. They hung him up there, beat him to a pulp, and crucified him. They wanted to be saved from this horrible government, this heavy taxation, and this mean government that we have by the emperors. They wanted to be saved. So they say, save us, Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest. Save us, Lord. Because you see, they saw him from the wrong perspective. They thought he was going to do it politically, militarily. But Jesus says, oh, if you had only known that this day could bring you peace. But he says, now this is hidden from you. You got a wrong perspective. You got a religious perspective when all I really wanted was relationship with you. I'm so glad I know Jesus. Aren't you? I'm so glad I know Jesus. And the same people, listen, just hours later, the same people who cried out, Hosanna, they're in humility laying their palm branches. Here it is Palm Sunday. They're laying their palm branches down for rolling out the red carpet for Jesus to ride in on. In just a little while, they just changed their Hosannas to two other words. Crucify him! Crucify him! Same people. Put him on the cross. What put Jesus on the cross? Religion. Religion put Jesus on the cross. Crucify. I'm just telling you, beloved. Religion, the spirit of religion can blind you and it can bind you. And you can reject the relationship that God has for you in Christ Jesus. And you can fall for the religious spirit that leads you to a perspective about God that is totally, totally wrong. You can do that. Or you can receive the relationship that he has for you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Relationship and not religion. You see, religion is all about serving another God. It's about a God serving me. What can this God that I serve do for me? I'm going to do everything that I can. I'm going to cry, Hosanna, Hosanna, because I want a certain result from the God that I'm religiously worshiping. You see, my idea, the Jews' idea was, I want a military leader to come and rescue me from this oppression that I'm experiencing. I want God to come and rescue me, but I want him to come and do it on my own terms. I want him to do it the way that I expect him to do it. And so I'm going to serve him the way that I want to serve him. I'm going to follow the directions on my microwave meal, and I'm just going to put it in the microwave and get the instant result that I want. If I do these steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, peel back the cover, slice to let it vent, you know, put it in the microwave for 3 minutes. Sometimes we create these rules and these rituals because we want a quick, easy result. You ever heard the term microwave culture? How about religious culture? I just got back from Nepal. Very, very early Tuesday morning. Haven't stopped running since. Praise the Lord. We sold 400 dozen donuts yesterday. 400 dozen. That's 48. That's 4,800 donuts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm beat. The youth were tired. They're cold. I see them sitting here. Praise God. They came to church this morning. Come on, give them a hand. These guys did an awesome job selling donuts yesterday. Because we're going to send them to a conference and they're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I was in Nepal. We were sharing the gospel going door to door. We took a 7-hour bus ride from the city, most polluted city in the world. In fact, in some of these pictures, you may see us wearing masks because the air is just so thick and heavy. I was glad to get out of the city. We took a 7-hour bus ride into the rural area to the base of a mountain, and then we hiked 3 hours up a mountain. I thought it was going to be 7. It felt like 20. But it was a 3-hour hike up the mountain to reach an unreached people group, a people that was bound up in religion, a people serving idols, a people desiring a certain result, living in fear to things that they don't understand, a people bound in religion. And we went door to door, we sat with some of these individuals that you'll see. And we shared the gospel, and some of them resisted, but some of them said yes. Toward the end of one of those days, I think we hiked about 10 miles all in one day. And I was exhausted. I'm sitting down on a rock, and then all of a sudden I hear the good news. We had split up into groups, and so I was taking a rest. Two other guys were witnessing to the couple that lived in the house. And he comes out and he says, they gave their lives to Jesus. They gave their lives to Jesus. They gave up their Hindu gods and they gave their lives to Jesus. And then as they decided, you see, in the Hindu religion, you want many different results. You want money, you want fertility, you want good favor, you want blessing, you want good luck. And so you have a god for each one of those things. You want good health, you serve the god of health. And so this couple finally said yes to Jesus. But the problem is, you know, and I'll tell you, I'll go on a little tangent here. We went to the second holiest site in Hinduism. You'll see it up here where you see a lot of smoke. Those are actually Hindu rituals. If you want more, the details are kind of morbid. I'll tell you more if you ask, but I'll leave it at that. It's the second holiest site, and we talked to three of the holy men. They were painted, faces painted, hair all done up, brightly colored robes, and they actually had invited some of us previously, some of our team, into their temple to worship Jesus, to worship the God of heaven in the second holiest site of Hinduism. Why? Because, and I asked my friend, I said, you know, you're friends with them, they let you do this, why haven't they given their lives to Jesus yet? He said, oh, they believe in Jesus. Problem is, they just believe in everything else. They believe in everything else too. And so, let's go back to this village. We're talking to this couple. They just got saved. And now we're telling them, you have to give up your idols. You have to give up the other gods, the other things that you're counting on. Every one of us in our lives, right here in Ahoskie, have things that we depend on, whether it's fishing or riding horses or whatever it is that you do. If it's your football games, I don't know what it is, but there's a thing that you do that you lean on sometimes and you even put before the Lord. You have to give up your idols because it's not about you, it's about Him. It's not about what you can get from Him, it's about receiving His love, it's about loving Him, it's about pouring yourself out. Reinhard Bonnke says, in many other religions, there's many terrible, terrible religions in the world. And in many of those religions, the people lay out a feast for their gods. But in the Christian religion, God lays out a feast for His people. You see, it's so simple. All we have to do is just surrender. Just surrender. Let go of the control. That's what the religious spirit is about. It's about control. Just let go of the control and allow God to just love you, to bless you, to pour out his presence on you, to lay out a feast of his goodness for you. And so we're trying to convince this couple, and they resist. They say, oh, okay, well, we'll throw away our idols tonight. We'll throw away our idols after you leave. We said, no, you're not. No, you're not. We know that trick. We know that trick. Come on. And so finally, they give us their idols. Little, and I looked at them in a little plastic shopping bag, maybe 5, 6, 7 idols, about this big. This big. Bowing down, worshiping these things, these rocks, these stones, these wooden images. Can you imagine living your whole life in subjection to an inanimate object? An inanimate object. An inanimate object. Am I preaching to somebody? Am I preaching to somebody? What are you living in subjection to? What are you bound up in? What is it that you can't get up more than 10 minutes, within the first 10 minutes of waking up in the morning? What is it that you have to do or you're not going to survive? Are you going to have a nervous breakdown? Am I making myself clear? Amen. Come on, praise the Lord. Denise, if you've got that video of the bridge, do you have it? We're trying to get it up. We'll see. We'll wait about 5 seconds here. We'll see if we can get it up. There we go. This is a bridge we crossed. It was one of the most dangerous bridges in the world to build. You look below, and it's just a river. And these guys, we're just jumping around, having fun, trying to scare some of the Americans that are on the other end of that bridge. We crossed several bridges. And so we took, it wasn't this particular bridge, but it was like it. We took the idols that they gave us. We smashed those idols on the ground, and then we threw them over the bridge into the water. Can we give God a hand of praise? When you will smash your idols, when you will let go of the things that are subjecting you, God will give you freedom like you have never known. When you smash your idols, when you surrender yourself to him, you'll get everything you wanted and more. In fact, some of the things you thought you wanted, you won't want them anymore. God will bless you more than you can ever bless yourself. Pastor Eric Earhart said that. God will bless you more than you can ever bless yourself. I want to share one more video with you. The rocks video is what I called it in the files. Well, you got to tilt your head sideways. Now this man that's talking is sharing the gospel. And this lady, you see, Nepal had an earthquake back in 2015, and they're still rebuilding. And so in several of the villages we went to, people are just, this lady's creating rocks. She's taking stones all day long, all day long. She's literally sitting on a pile of rocks, 80 years old, I don't know how old she is. Take your guess, all day. Unfortunately, this lady did not get saved. She wasn't very interested in what we had to say, even though we sat there for quite a while. Quite a while. We shared with her Jesus. You see, some people in Nepal, because of the earthquake, are just, they've given up belief in anything. They're just depressed. Well, I'm not going to serve the Hindu gods. They didn't do anything for me. My house is destroyed. It's taken me years to rebuild my livelihood. I mean, these people, I told you, 7-hour bus ride, 3-hour hike up the mountains. This is a remote village. And you can just keep going through those pictures, Denise. Thank you so much. We shared with this lady. And several, this is the holy site I was telling you about. This lady didn't get saved. But there was another group of ladies that we talked to doing the exact same thing she was doing, sitting there. People who have given up on their gods because their gods didn't give them the result that they wanted from their service, their religious dedication. Because they, why? they don't understand that what we are offering is not religion. It's relationship. Amen. It's not an alternative to Hinduism. It's not an alternative to Buddhism. It is the way, the truth, and the life. It is the very thing that every human being is searching for. It is the higher reality that Buddhists and Hindus are looking for. It is truth. And it's not found by our methods and our modes. It's found by surrender, by loving surrender to an individual. An individual who loved us so much that he came to this earth and he died for us. And as we sat there and we shared the gospel with this other group of ladies, finally one of them said yes. Finally one of them said, I want to believe. Finally one of them said, I want this thing that you're talking about. I want Jesus. I'm tired of being disappointed by my religion. I'm tired of living in fear. I'm tired of not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow and wondering whether my idol is going to help me through it. Would you stand to your feet? Come on, just close your eyes. You know, what I've been describing to you today doesn't just work in Nepal. Doesn't just work in India. Doesn't just work in China. Works right here. Just keep your eyes closed. I'm going to tell you one more story, but I want you to visualize it. So yesterday, we're selling donuts. We're just living in relationship with the God of heaven, being obedient. God presents an opportunity for us to enrich the youth group. And so we just say yes to him. We're just going about our daily business in faithfulness and simple obedience to the God of heaven. And I walk inside and to ask a question, and a Walmart clerk just starts pouring out her life story to me. It was the strangest thing. She even said to me, she said, I would never tell this to anybody. I don't know why I'm saying all this to you. And she begins to get emotional. She's a believer. And I said, ma'am, can I pray for you? And as I prayed for her, I could see the peace of God just come all over her. Right in Walmart. In Walmart. You see, missions, we weren't in a church building most of the time on this missions trips to Nepal. We were going door to door. We were outside. We were where the people were working, where the people were making rocks. So I'm in Walmart where this lady is making rocks. She's at her checkout line. She's doing her work. She's doing her daily task, her routine. And then God decides, I'm going to crash in on this woman right now. I'm going to pour out my peace on her like a waterfall right now. I'm going to divinely appoint a moment in her life that's going to change her. And so I'm praying for this lady. The peace of God comes over her. And I said, ma'am, do you have pain? And she said, yes, my back hurts. And I walked out of Walmart a few minutes later, having just witnessed a miracle of healing right here in Ahoskie, North Carolina, in the checkout line at Walmart. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Close your eyes again. So what is it you need? What is it you need? Now I'm going to ask you the opposite. I'm not going to ask you, what do you need? What do you need to get rid of? If you need something, that means you need to get rid of something. It's time to give up religion. It's time to stop trying to get the exact result that you want from your God. Why don't you start giving him the result he's looking for? Why don't you give yourself up and watch him unravel you in the best way possible? If you hold your hands out like you're going to receive something from the Lord, your palms turn toward heaven. If there's something in your hands, how can you expect to receive? Empty your hands and receive what God wants to place in them. Make room. Allow God. Surrender to him. Allow him to make room in your life. Sometimes the trials of our life is the way that God is making room to receive the blessing he wants to give us. This is a holy moment, friends. This is a holy moment. I'm going to open up the altar in a minute here, but I don't want to rush this moment. In stillness and the quietness of this moment, surrender to him now. I'm not going to lead you through this. You have to do it. I can't get saved for you. I can't surrender for you. This is between you and the Lord. You need to figure it out right now. You have to figure it out on your own. If you want to whisper out loud to him, you can. Just start talking to him. See, religion says repeat after me. That's fine. It's useful. It's a good tool sometimes. Right now it's not. Relationship says this is what's just coming out of my heart. This is all I know how to say. Jesus help. That's all I know how to pray right now. If that's all you can do, that's fantastic. Just say that. Whatever it is you need to tell him. He's your good father. He's your best friend. He's your brother. He's your spouse. Start relating to him. You know how to relate to people. Every one of us, we have parents. Maybe we have siblings. Maybe we're married. You know how to relate to people. You relate to God essentially the same way. Fumble through it right now like a little child. Fumble through it. Talk to him. I'm just going to wait here in the stillness for just a couple moments.
To you, and I surrender everything, every part of me, all to you. I surrender all of my dreams. I
altars are open. Altar workers, would you come on down? Ministers, elders.
Pastor Noli, I'm receiving a word of knowledge as I stand here and you're closing out here. I just receive in my spirit a word of knowledge that I feel the Lord is speaking to my heart. He gave me a passage of scripture here from Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a path before each person that seems right, but in the end, it ends in death. I'm sensing that there's someone here, and I say this in the love of Christ, please. I don't say this in a way of to condemn, because here's the reality. On the other side, if you were to surrender your life, on the other side of this, you will know peace like you have never known. And I see the tension. I see the tension in the spirit. And it's because all you've ever known is what you've thought. You thought this was right. But the Holy Spirit, not Pastor Wallace or Pastor, no, the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now. And your heart is beating. It's beating a little unusually stronger than normal. That's his confirmation to you that he's talking to you personally right now. And he wants you simply to just say yes. Yes. He just simply wants you to say yes. I don't know anything more to say to you than what the Lord is saying to me today. That you've done what you thought was right. But it hasn't brought you peace. It hasn't brought you peace. And the Lord says this day, he wants to bring you peace. He wants to bring you peace. And your peace is not found in Carpenter Shop International Church. It's not. This is a great place. I love that. If I wasn't a preacher here, I'd come to church here. Okay, amen. I love this church. I love you. I love everything about this church. I love where we're going. I do. I love where we're going. But really, it's about peace right now. And the Lord wants to give you peace like you've never known it. And it's just simply, he's simply just asking you to say yes. If he's saying that to you, if you bear witness with that in your heart, would you just simply just give me the honor of praying with you right now? Listen, we love you. We're not here to embarrass you. This is not a moment of embarrassment. This is a moment of blessing. I just want you to step out of your seat and just step forward here. Give me the joy of just praying with you. And the moment you step, that heart rate is going to slow right down. It's going to slow right down the moment you step. Could be for more than one person. Could be for more than one person. Is the Lord leading you that way, dear? Please.
Praise the Lord, yes. If God's speaking to you, just come forward. This is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Come on, Richard, let's sing it. Let's sing it again. If you need to leave, feel free. For those who want to linger and just worship, if you want prayer, you're free to remain. We're going to be here. Those of you that pre-ordered donuts, they're on the table. We're sold out. For everyone else, I'm sorry. If you didn't get them the past 3 weeks, you missed it. Visit the Missions Cafe before you leave. Come on, let's worship the Lord. And unto you.